when they first come to the ticketing pavilion, then they cross the threshold. And the experience of being in the Japanese garden will start there. They will be crossing through open space that is designed with water and tranquility and peace in mind. And it's being designed by master landscape architects that will create a phenomenal experience of crossing from the outside world through the garden and then into the cultural village and then into the garden proper. Some of our other volunteers participate in roles throughout the year that include being a docent at the art exhibits, assisting the horticultural volunteers in raking the leaves and cleaning the ponds. And one of the aspects of the new design of the garden that we are very enthusiastic about is that the volunteers will also have a place where we can store our valuables. And for the first time on those rare days in Portland when it rains, we'll be able to find a place outside of the rain. When we started learning about the Japanese garden, we learned about the words of our garden designer, Professor Tono, who, when he was in his 70s, came to Portland and designed this masterpiece. And he said, the true importance and value of a Japanese garden is the sense of serenity and peace and quiet. He felt that the purpose was to realize a sense and to feel being part of nature. And I can assure you that those who have continued his legacy are continuing that design. I wanted to leave you with one visual. This is from some of our Title I students who come to the garden free of charge. We have one of our outreach efforts goes to the schools where one of our educational organizers and educators goes with volunteers, and we tell children about the Japanese garden. Then we invite them back into the garden with a camera. They take a photograph, maybe more, and then they write a haiku poem. So I did not bring slides today, but this little image here is of a young girl who said, mossy green lantern, small waterfall, creeks open, harmony comes here. So I encourage you to look with open eyes at all that we've planned very carefully. I am glad, as Gail is, to invite you to come to the Japanese garden. It would be our pleasure to give you, your staff, your visitors, and your family a tour at any time.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Barker. I live at 2797 Southwest Rutland Terrace. I speak on behalf of myself and my wife. Mayor Harrells, Commissioner Fritz, and other commissioners, thank you for allowing us to speak briefly in favor of the Portland Japanese Garden expansion, and we support the decision of the hearing officer. We are neighbors. We live two blocks away, longtime garden members, and a garden volunteer. We partly chose our home over 26 years ago because of the neighborhood. We certainly are aware of the abundant summertime neighborhood visitors and traffic that not only frequent the Japanese garden, but the International Rose Test Garden, the amphitheater for recently again successful concerts, the playground, the tennis courts, the zoo train, the hiking trails, picnic areas, and much more, all in that area. We actually relish chatting with many of the visitors from Portland, the region, the rest of the country, and other countries. On walks, my wife and I occasionally enjoy pointing confused visitors to a bus stop, explaining where the garden actually is, or sometimes we've been known to give a lost soul a ride downtown to their hotel after the buses have stopped running for the day. We've been well aware of the forward-thinking Japanese garden expansion for several years. We have attended most of the several neighborhood meetings with the garden staff. They've been most open, accommodating, and transparent, responding to questions and concerns and modifying both design and construction that might interfere with neighborhood activities. Let me share one example, and it's pertinent because it's the spur that's been discussed over and over again. This was brought up at least two different meetings with the garden staff, and much of the discussion that's occurred today came forward. This was a good example of modification and cooperation. It included the garden staff. It included the park staff who designed the innovative relocation of the trail. And it included the neighbors and other interested parties. So the bottom line is this new access to to the Wildwood Trail, preserves the already trail that occurs from Fairview Boulevard, but opens another one so that the Wildwood Trail is not affected at all. The Japanese Garden Village will not only create a unique sensual, artistic, and educational experience, but the beauty and tranquility of the garden itself will be preserved and untouched. This expansion will be terrific for the neighborhood, Portland and Oregon as tourist destinations, and fill an unmet need for learning about Japanese garden design. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Thanks.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. My name is Dori Vollum, and I live at 1000 Northwest Skyline Boulevard in Portland, Oregon. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about why I'm in support of this project at the Japanese Garden. I was asked to join the Board of Trustees about 5 years ago, and I was honored. I think it's my favorite place in all of Oregon, if not the United States, to visit and participate in and bring visitors to. And I was also very willing to devote my time and effort and personal resources to work with the Portland Japanese Garden. But my stipulation to Steve Bloom and Gwyneth Gamble Booth when they asked me to join is that I would do absolutely no fundraising. Mm-hmm. I had been on the board of directors for PICA for 11 years and had struggled with a nonprofit arts organization for longer than I care to remember. And I just wanted to relax and enjoy the beauty of the garden and see what I could do to help out. So I'm now sitting here as the co-chair of the capital campaign, it was quite a shock to me, as well as everybody else that knows me. But this change of heart was really easy to do, because when I looked at the project and I realized the impact and the scope it would have on the city that I am not native to, but I have come to love after my 28 years here, there was no question that I could go out into the community, that I could ask people for their support, that I could talk about this project with the utmost confidence that we had done our research, we had done our thinking. I served on the architectural selection committee. I've worked with this project from the moment, not the moment it was thought of because it came before me, but from when I could put my feet in to today. And I have, you know, I hesitate to ask people to support something that I do not feel I've vetted to the best of my ability. And there's no red herrings here. Everything that we've done with integrity, we've done to the level that the garden deserves, and that the thousands of volunteers and the millions of people that have visited and the contributions of our community deserve. And so I ask your support for the future of the garden. I think we can really build something that can go not just for the next 50 years, but the next 100 years and beyond in our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
I just have a comment, Ms. Vaughan. Thank you for your fundraising. I'm the commissioner who announced on November 4th of 2012 that I was never running for anything ever again. And here I am leading the Parks Bond campaign, which will help fix our parks without raising your property tax rates. And so I share the understanding that sometimes there's a cause that's greater than our own personal desires.
Best decision I've ever made. Well, I've made a couple of really good ones before that.
Mayor Hales, there is an implication on the record that Gwyneth Gamble Booth used either coercion or undue influence on this testifier.
Yeah. Strike that from the record.
Strike it or we get a rebuttal, I think.
only took two martinis.
That's not bad.
Mr. Barker, I just wanted to say that we very much appreciate your giving lost tourist rides downtown. We've actually heard from a number of those tourists, and they said that they were going to complain that we didn't have Uber here yet, but you provided a great alternative.
Unpaid, but nevertheless appreciated. Thank you. Next group, please.
Our Wayne Drinkward and Cho DeZono.
And that's all you have signed up? Or are there others? Going. All right, you two may be the concluding part of this section of the hearing.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name's Wayne Drinkward. I live at 5570 Southwest Menifee Drive in Portland, and I'm president of Hoffman Construction Company. So I'm here to talk to you both as a citizen and as an interested contractor. Specifically, I'd like to just mention at the beginning, we've worked hard with the neighborhood association about the impacts that we've heard as a potential thing. That isn't going to stop with the agreement. We have a long-term deal all the way through this process of hotlines, informational things and so forth. Construction has some impacts that can happen, but we want them to be known and we want to mitigate them. So what we'll be doing won't just stop with the agreement. I've also heard in the appellant's testimony about increased commercial activity and so forth. And what I want to say is the Japanese garden is a real treasure, and the activity is increasing. So it's responsible of the board and the society to find a way to do that in a way that supports that and makes this actually over the term, the long term, the experience that it should be. And I can say in working, we've had the privilege, they brought on Kengo Kuma, a Japanese architect of real renown, to look at this, along with a local team of THA and Walker Macy, all of whom have a great deal of experience in the kind of environment. So while opinions may differ about design, I can say this is a very appropriate and exciting team. And having been a little bit on the inside, what I would say is good for our industry here is we're seeing within King Kumo-san's architecture, it opens into the environment, it's sustainable, it's locally sourced, and very environmentally concerned. And I think it's a good model for us to have here and to explore more deeply. And I think that'll serve as a great example for other kinds of architecture that we'd like to encourage here in Portland. Aside from the aspect of jobs, which we like in construction, we're also looking at outreach in terms of craftsmanship and expressing these details and bringing them into future buildings. So this project has a lot of impacts beyond simply space and any kind of commercial aspect. And I'm really excited about it because on a scale, this is a real treasure for Oregon, and it's a real privilege to be a part of it. So I'd ask you for your support in the project and in denying the appeal.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Sho Dozono, 1534 Southwest Cardinal Drive, Portland, Oregon, 97201. I'm probably the oldest member testifying this afternoon, and the reason why I'm the cleanup batter because I was last one to sign up, so I just want to be for the record. But I've been visiting the Japanese Garden and the predecessor, the Portland Zoo, which was the part, the current location of the garden was the city zoo, and where the koi pond is now was the bear den, which was pretty smelly and pretty not the best place for bears. But so I've been around for a long, long time, and as member of the Japanese American community, I want to express the current board and the trustees for having the vision to take us to the next 50 years and truly bring the Japanese garden, the world-class architect, Kengo Kuma. If you went to Japan and asked anyone on the street who Kengo Kuma is, he'd be like Ian Pei in terms of design. And some well-known architects in Portland have said this will put Portland, Oregon on the map just by his, this is his first project in North America. He's ventured into this North America as an architect out of Japan. And I think this has been a treasure for our community to bring our fellow citizens, Japanese Americans here, as well as visitors from Japan. I've been there for dozens of times, including Japanese companies and other international companies, to talk about the international aspect of our city. So it's not just the cultural aspect of Japan and Portland, Oregon, but really putting Portland, Oregon on international map to say this is how we treat different culture, different people, how we value the diversity in our community. And I always tell the Japanese that this was not built by the Japanese American community. It was built by the city and the forefathers, the city council members, city commissioners, 50 years ago had the vision to change the zoo, which would be bringing a lot more traffic than the Japanese garden does today. And in terms of talking about 3%, on buildings would be much greater impact. So they had the vision to move the zoo further away and keep the center of the Washington Park and Japanese Garden. So I urge you to support the application and deny the appellate. So thank you very much for your time and your support, hopefully.
Mr. DeZona, just yesterday we got rid of the code section that refers to the Portland Zoo. We're on it this week.
Yes, we did. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, if there's no one else to speak individually, then it's time for the appellant to come up for rebuttal.
So what I'm wondering, though, is if I should make my motion on the amendment so that in case anybody wants to testify on that.
And I think.
Sure. Just in a spirit of fairness, I was asked to relay to you that testimony concerning the impacts on the construction industry of this project was not an issue that was raised below.
Hmm?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the amendment. I'm going to use Ms. Bookins as the template for it, but with some minor amendments to that. So if you can refer to this memorandum that we were just given. This is the amendment to Condition G. And so I would propose incorporating the applicant's proposed changes, including deleting the minimum 6-foot wide from the concrete sidewalk, and then deleting the existing curb with a minimum 4-foot wide planting strip, correcting the north to west, and correcting new to redeveloped. At the end of her addition to say that will provide adequate unimpeded pedestrian access, add and landscaping along the entire frontage of the leasehold on Southwest Kingston. And then continuing with the previous language and her language at the end, which says the proposed sidewalk design will require approval of Portland Parks and Recreation, add a comma and the Portland Bureau of Transportation, and then continue with her language for the Bureau of Development Services site development review section.
Okay. Everyone get those changes?
Commissioner, have you discussed the amendment with the applicant?
Well, I based it on hers, but that's why I'm moving it so that they can come up and comment on it if they'd like to.
All right.
So do we have a
Ms. Bookin, could you just come up and comment?
Second it for purposes of discussion.
If we're going to adopt that is that acceptable?
Just want to make one clarification. The entire length, what we're not proposing is that there be a sidewalk the entire length of the leasehold, which would wrap that sidewalk all the way down by the Rose Garden gift shop and up the hill.
The entire frontage of the leasehold on Southwest Kingston.
Correct. And that's not what we're suggesting, because that would require additional from the other side of the access road all the way over to where the picnic pavilion is and all the way up the hill towards the hairpin turn. That is, again, a natural area which we don't want to have to disturb. What we're saying is that we are putting a sidewalk from the access road that would be continuous all the way to the Kingston Avenue entrance to Washington Park.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about. I want it to go to the northern boundary. I agree that we don't want that part, but this is north, which is
right. Right.
So I want it to go to the edge of the boundary on Kingston, since we're doing it anyway.
I might add that there's an important issue here. Sidewalks are not required because it's a private street. The hearings officer, based on input by the neighborhood, this is one issue. Let me see if I can find this here. This is the one issue that the neighbors made a demonstration of nexus.
I think they made the demonstration.
They made a demonstration of nexus that there was an inadequate pedestrian access under the criterion of approval regarding public services transportation.
Right.
And they did ask for a lengthy sidewalk long beyond to the south of the access road. The hearings officer found that the nexus they established was only the segment between the parking lot to the north, the idea being that anybody who wanted to come to the tennis courts or the Rose Garden could cross the street because there's a full length of sidewalk. The nexus is that anybody who was on the west side of Kingston and wanted to go to the entry of the garden did not have a 2-block length of sidewalk to do that. And between the sidewalk that we now are committed in front of the reconfigured parking lot and the segment to the north, you now can walk that brief distance. But if you need to walk further south, you cross the street and walk on the east side of the street. Okay, so that was the nexus and the background for the 200-foot addition of sidewalk.
So looking at page 12 of the hearings office's decision, instead of the sentence, the phrase about landscaping along the entire frontage of the leasehold, change it to roughly in the location shown as on exhibit H21.
Yes, and also there is landscaping on the west side because that's the natural slope.
Right.
So the purpose of the 4-foot was not for landscaping. The purpose was, we asked Peabot about this, was to prevent the overhang of automobiles onto the portion of the sidewalk that would block its pedestrian access.
With respect, that the condition of approval talks about a minimum 4-foot wide planting strip.
Yes, but
the intent was landscaping.
Yes, but the purpose was when we talked to PBOT, who advised the hearings officer on this, I believe, and someone from PBOT may still not be here, but was here earlier, Bob Haley was, the purpose of the 4 feet was not landscaping per se, but was to provide adequate space for the hangover of automobiles so that it wouldn't impede on the sidewalk. One of the discussions, it's new evidence, is that we've talked to the neighbors about how we could create the 6 feet without that 4 feet between the curb and the sidewalk. The reason is the more you move that sidewalk to the west, the more you cut into a very steep natural slope that contains landscaping and valuable trees, which would have to be removed only to put additional landscaping on the curbside. So it makes more sense to have from the curb inward a pedestrian walkway that is broad enough to allow handicapped access, which is generally considered 6 feet, and then there's lots of landscaping on the inboard side of that. So that is kind of the thinking, and this is all open for negotiation with the parties because since it's out of the public right-of-way, PBOT is not necessarily weigh in. It is really BDS site development review that looks at this sidewalk element.
Right. I tend to appreciate the input of transportation on things like sidewalk designs because they are such experts.
If that is your desire, they can certainly be included in the conversation.
We just want to make sure that we're not destroying a natural area for the sake of putting in this strip when it might not be necessary to achieve what we need to achieve.
So I think we should leave that open and subject to the design discussions. Because it says your proposed condition says the proposed sidewalk design will require approval of parks.
Correct.
I'm just adding transportation. So
yes.
We'll just, instead of my last phrase, we'll just add roughly as shown in Exhibit H, whatever.
Correct.
It was.
H2.
H21.
H21, sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Prince,
yes.
See about getting Mr. Haley back here. Do you think that's unnecessary?
I always like to hear from Mr. Haley. Is he gone now?
We've got more to do here, so let's put this amendment on the table. We've got a motion and a second to put this on the table. Let's take a roll call to put the amendment on the table.
I've got it.
I want to make sure that we have the text because the.
All right, then we can wait till the end of the hearing, Amanda. Let's just wait. We've got to give the rebuttal opportunity and then start working on a tentative decision. So we can save condition language, get that out, until the conclusion of the hearing.
I just want to be sure that if anybody wants to testify on this, they know what was on the table, and it was a little obscured by reading what was proposed.
I think the general sense of what we're trying to require is understood, which is a sidewalk with design approval of those three bureaus that extends from the parking lot, the new section of parking lot, to the north.
To connect up to the existing sidewalk. Yes.
Design details to be negotiated among those three
bureaus. Thank you, Mayor. Yes.
Okay. So we got that general sense of that on the table. So let's not take a roll call on the motion. We'll get to specific language at the end if that's where we end up.
We do have to take testimony on it, though.
Yes, we can take testimony on that. Understand that that's on the table and the council's considering that. Okay. So let's give the appellant the opportunity to do her rebuttal of what has been heard in the hearing.
And then take testimony on the amendment?
If necessary.
Okay.
We might not need it. I think we might simply get affirmation, but let's see.
No, the public gets to testify.
That's what I'm saying from the people that are here. Okay, let's see. So you have the opportunity to make a 5-minute rebuttal statement, so please do.
Okay. Hillary McKenzie, returning. Let's talk about size for a minute. Staff was very cavalier when they said that, they didn't even look at the elevations for the buildings and they didn't approve those. All the documents that are in the application packet have now been made part of the application and they are deemed part of the approval unless specifically called out otherwise. All land use applications, you show the elevations, you show the floor plans, you show the bulk of the buildings. Those applications are the official approved, or those elevations are the official approved elevations. The official approved square footage is 11,340. If they are not in compliance with what is on the record, they cannot go forward. They have to come back in and do a new application. To give you an example how out of the pale this whole application is. My last application with Kathleen Stokes was an ADU, a little garage we were converting to living space. We did the whole application. It's an adjustment for setback because it's in the back corner of the property. The whole building was maybe 200 square feet, 300 square feet. We got our approval. Clients were happy. He's a painter, truly a painter. He needed another foot in width. I submitted elevations. They were dimensioned. We had signed letters from all the neighbors. From Kathleen Stokes, I have the email. No, we must do a full new application because we wanted to increase the footprint by 1 foot. These people could do increases of 10 or 30 feet, and you would never know it because they didn't put the dimensions on the plans. They can add floors or not add floors, and you would not know it because it's not clear on the plans. It's ambiguous. They submitted stuff that is so far below standard, I can't even believe we're having this discussion. You know, so Beverly Bookin comes up here, 12,000. Well, you know, we're going to do 12,000.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I apologize if we can stop the clock. Oh. I'm informed that this is new testimony.
Okay. All right. So I'll go back to the elevations. The staff testified that they didn't review the elevations and that they could build whatever they wanted with the elevations. That is, in fact, incorrect. They have to follow the bulk. That's been part of the approval process. And the fact that those weren't clearly delineated, that the hearings officer didn't understand what he was approving, the staff said she didn't even look at it. To me, that tells me we really got to talk about this. The next issue, back to the notification. You know, nobody's saying the Japanese garden isn't a great thing. All the programs, all the wonderful things they do, we're all on board. They're great. We love them. Okay. But they've had this project in the works in detail with their membership, with their boards, with parks, I understand, for at least a year and a half. They have not, we didn't see in the neighborhood the full effect of what they were doing until 30 days before the hearings officer hearing. 80 people were notified. The people who came here today, I had to call personally. It is not my job as a citizen to try to get the word out of what's going down on our public lands because you guys didn't follow the procedures. I shouldn't have to knock myself out for 30 days, because that's all I had and no budget, to tell people we've got an important issue on the books here and nobody knows about it. They're gifting 3 acres of land because the hearings officer said it's okay. This is so far out of what our codes allow, I can't even believe it. And I'm sorry to get emotional, but I don't have to follow. I have to follow all these rules. They are not having to follow these rules. So if they would have told people, you would have a lot more people here. If they had put signs on the trails, you would have a lot more people here. There was no notification on this trail that's going to be closed. Now, once they have their approval to close it, they're going to put some signs up so people go this way. Their proposed new trail spur doesn't connect the parking area where people come and park their cars from Selwood or Northeast or any place directly to Washington Park. It's a friggin' mile out of the way. It's half a mile down the trail. It's down onto a road. There's no sidewalk once you dump onto the road. It's incredibly steep. A lot of older people do this route because it's got a gentle grade. The trail's been laid out. And so it's going to go over this bank, down, clear up Knights Road, no sidewalk, and no connection back to the Rose Gardens where there's parking. This is a common thing year-round. When it's not at the peak for the Japanese gardens, people use those parking lots along the tennis courts to park and use the trail. PDOT, oops, that map she showed you, the only trail it showed on that map was Wildwood. It showed none of the trails in the Arboretum. The Arboretum has a whole network of trails. It only showed Wildwood. If you know anything about our trail system, Wildwood is the I-5 of the trail system. It goes from St. John's, clear out, I forget how far it goes. But anyway, everything else crosses and intersects with that. That map Bookin put up only shows Wildwood. It doesn't show the trail network. This trail was in the 1981 master plan. It's a condition of the Japanese Gardens lease to not block public access and to follow the master plan, not as part of a land use proceeding, and that's where people are getting confused. It's a condition of their lease that they need to follow that master plan. And this master plan talks about enhancing and developing this key linkage to the rest of the park, and now it's going to be gone with no notice to the users and the greater parks. The The people from Sylvan and Goose Hollow came because I asked them, because I thought their neighborhoods would be concerned, and they said yes, their neighborhoods would be concerned, and they would like to know about this and would have been part of the planning. I'm not saying, and nobody has said, we don't love the Japanese gardens, we don't think they're terrific, and we don't think that they probably need to expand because they do have increased visitors. What we're saying is it needs to be a process, it needs to be public, people should know what's happening in their parks, and it should be integrated into the rest of the park system, it should be integrated into our transportation system, it should not be because the board figured this out, they know better than everybody, and they're going to tell us when they've got it all worked out, and then we're going to love it. That's not how our government's supposed to work. And am I over time?
Yes,
my light's flashing.
Thank you. I wanted to let you get your statement out, so thank you.
All right.
Any questions? Not for Ms. McKenzie? All right, thanks very much. I think there are questions for staff, right? Do we have some? And then we'll return to the question of the decision and an amendment.
I'd actually like to return to the issue of the definition of site. I would actually like to have the city attorney hold forth on her thoughts about the definition and what precedential decisions we may or may not have to make on that issue in the course of this determination.
Thank you. Basically, the hearings officer looked at two things in the code. He looked at the definition of site and the definition of ownership. Generally, ownership is defined as sort of the whole shebang, everything you owned. And the code says the site isn't ownership except under certain circumstances. And the hearings officer relied on one of these exceptions, which says that if a proposed development includes only a portion of an ownership and there is other development on the ownership, then the applicant may choose to define the site as the portion of the ownership that's currently developed plus the portion proposed for development. What I understand the hearings officer to have said is the part proposed for development is the additional 3.5 acres. The Japanese gardens, or the other 9.5 or 9 acres of the garden is already developed. It's permissible under this exception from the definition of ownership to define this site as the total 12.5 acres that includes both the existing garden and the expansion. That is a plausible interpretation of the code.
Catherine, I have the
If we were to deny the appeal and you were to draft findings, do you have the discretion in drafting them to define the definition of site as narrowly as possible within the code?
Yes, ultimately it's the council's interpretation that the council will be adopting this interpretation.
Right.
So yes.
But I see at least two ways you can define site for purposes of this matter.
Yes.
Under the definition. So we could direct you, if we chose, to in the drafting process, to draft it as narrowly as possible.
That's correct. That's correct. I believe what the appellants are, what Ms. McKenzie is saying is that you have to consider all of the ownership as being all of Washington Park. I believe this language, as the hearings officer understood it, gave him and you the latitude to say the ownership is the proposed development is the additional 3.5 acre expansion area. The existing development is the existing garden. You combine those two for purposes of constituting the site that's the subject of this application.
And are we in danger of making a decision that will have an effect on other land use decisions? For example, the Lloyd Center is a single ownership with multiple tenancies in it. If in a future land use application for the site covered by one of those tenancies, let's say, I don't know if it's still there, if the Stanford's restaurant goes away and someone wants to put in something else on that corner of the site, are we in danger of having that land use hearing or that land use proceeding guided by this decision about the definition of a site?
Well, as the applicant's attorney explained it to you, you might be running that risk if you were to interpret a leasehold as an ownership interest. I think this is looking at simply, this is not going that route. It's basically saying we're entitled to look at simply the part, the expanded area that's proposed for development together with the existing development, which is the existing garden, and to consider that as the site under this exception in the code.
So it's not turning on the lease?
No.
Mayor, there's the other companion piece, though, that I think either you or Commissioner Fritz alluded to earlier, which is for purposes of LUBA and their concern in this issue, it's whether someone was prevented from raising an objection. And we have nothing on the record which says that some citizen was prevented from raising an objection because of the interpretation of site and ownership. And that would be the legal issue that ultimately LUBA would look to. And these are a lot of legal niceties, but the values proposition is, did someone, as a result of the way we interpret it, were they prevented? And someone would have to come here today and say that, or would have to say that during the hearing. Right. We don't have that.
I would have. Right.
And in fact, the folks who've objected also had a chance to testify at the hearing below.
Other questions, concerns to raise with staff? And then I think the proper procedure would be to make a motion for a tentative decision that encompasses an amendment, if an amendment is to be proposed. Which should we do first?
I agree. I think maybe one step would be to make sure we've nailed down exactly what the amended condition G says.
Okay. So let's take up that question again, Commissioner, once more with feeling.
What so do, you think do you have a copy of it, of Ms. Bookin's amendments? So
yes.
It's as written, except that at the end of the sentence that currently concludes, "will provide adequate unimpeded pedestrian access," we would add roughly as shown on exhibit H21.
Got it.
And then after Portland Parks and Recreation, a comma, and add the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Got it.
Okay. Does anyone wish to speak to that amendment language? Silence equals assent or at least acceptance.
So, Mayor, I move to deny the appeal subject to the amended condition.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? So a tentative decision to deny the appeal with the revision to the condition that the council's just placed on the table with findings to come back in some, we'll get to that in a minute. So council roll call on that tentative decision.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the work of the Japanese Garden. I appreciate the testimony of those who were presenting the appeal of the hearings officer decision. I do believe that notwithstanding the concerns I expressed earlier about the impact of closure of the Japanese Garden Trail, I do feel that will be assuaged by the development of the new trail that will connect the Wildwood Trail down to the parking lot down below. And I also feel that some of the issues are surrounding what the definition of a site, as we've just discussed here, in terms of its precedential value, have also been assuaged in my mind too, in terms of their precedential value. So I wish the garden every success in its expansion programs. Aye.
Novick?
I appreciate the elegant advocacy of both the garden and its supporters and the appellants, and I vote aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to everybody for participating so eloquently and constructively, and for those who wrote in with their testimony ahead of time. Thanks to Rachel Whiteside and Kathleen Stokes for an excellent job from Development Services, Todd Lofgren, Brett Horner, and Kia Sully from Parks. It's interesting being a quasi-judicial judge in this particular case. I'm also administrator of two of the bureaus that are very directly affected in this. And so as Commissioner Fish and I are finding with our other big land use case on the reservoirs in Mount Tabor Park, we have to walk a very fine line between making sure that we keep our objectivity and yet also are good stewards of our role as administering the bureaus. So I was particularly grateful to my staff for doing all of the work so that all I had to do was then have this deliberation at council rather than being in on every step of the way. Thanks also to Tom Bizzo, my chief of staff, who was, as always, very helpful on this, and I very much appreciate the outcome. Aye.
Fish.
I want to build on something Commissioner Fritz just said. In our rather unusual form of government, we wear three hats. We have an administrative function, we have a legislative function, and we have a judicial function. And that violates things that we learned in elementary school about separation of powers. But it is a unique feature of our form of government. as legislators, each of us has one vote, and we advocate for things we care about. As administrators, we are responsible for bureaus assigned by the mayor, and we fight like hell to make sure that they're protected during the budget season and in other forums. As judges, we are supposed to set aside our preconceptions, look at the code, look at the administrative law judge's decision, and make sure that the findings and the logic of the decision comport with our code. That's a very clinical function. And what sometimes we miss in these debates is the larger question about what is being proposed and its impact on the community. It is a rare hearing, in my experience, in my 6 years, where everyone, even the opponents, the appellants, agree on the value of the garden. This is actually a kind of a rare hearing where even the critics of the decision and some of the legal issues made a point of saying how much they treasure the garden. And that's unusual in our proceedings, so I just want to acknowledge that. I thought the advocacy on both sides was excellent. Some of these questions are complicated, and I thought the hearing served to shed some light and help us get to a decision. All of us are proud to live in a city with a great Japanese garden, a great Chinese garden, and a great park system. And we're grateful for all the volunteers and board members who are the stewards of that system, and 120 friends groups that help Commissioner Fritz every day do her job as Parks Commissioner. And today, our job is more narrow. It is to look at the law and apply the law to the facts. But it is noteworthy that there was broad consensus today about the tremendous gift that is ours, that is this garden. And with our action, it will pave the way for an even greater garden. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to thank not only everyone who came to testify, but also the council for careful deliberation on this hearing. You know, there are a couple of levels to this decision. One is technical and legal, and you've been patient with us while we've finessed or thought through those questions. But it's important that we do these quasi-judicial land use decisions the right way, and it's also important that we make the right decision at a moral level, at a community level, at a stewardship level. And that's why I questioned Ms. Booth closely about the big picture question here, because, as Ms. McKenzie said, the foundation of what we're doing here was Tom McCall and the Oregon land use revolution, that we should be good stewards of place. And I had to be satisfied in this decision that not only was it technically correct for us to uphold the hearings officer, but it's the right thing to do, that we have to be good stewards of this place in a way that errs on the side of conservation and errs on the side of excellent design and of management of this public space in a way that respects all those traditions and all those values. And I am satisfied. I think there is a point, and I don't know exactly what it is, at which all most reasonable people would say, stop, you can do no more to Waterfront Park or to the Japanese Garden or to Mount Tabor. Probably heard from some of those people already. But I don't think we're at that point here because of the scale of what exists and the scale of what's being proposed and the care which I have confidence will be exercised in the execution of this plan by the garden and by its leadership and by its volunteers. So I was very cautious, as you could probably sense in my questions, about how we make this decision. But I am satisfied that it's the right thing to do and that it will be well executed. And upon its completion, all of us will still have good reason to celebrate what a great place this is. So thank you all. I vote aye.
Thank you all for coming. Before we adjourn, I just want to remind everybody that the Oregon Symphony is playing in Waterfront Park tonight. In fact, there's an afternoon of entertainment right now, funded with your taxpayer dollars, so go and get your money's worth out of it and enjoy it.
We'll set a date for findings. Yes. At the moment, the council has until September 12th to adopt findings. We've requested the applicant to grant us an additional week, which we need to have that agreement.
Hang on, folks. We've got to finish this.
We've asked the applicant to grant us an additional week, and we have received that extension. So bring it back either September 18th, Thursday if possible, or September 17th, Wednesday afternoon if possible.
September 17th, I think, is probably the better. So we will set the return of findings for September 17th.
Yes.
And at a time.
At 2 p.m.?
We've got a 2 p.m. already.
At 2:30 p.m.?
They're asking for 2 hours, the City Club report.
Oh, my goodness.
We could bring it back in the morning, potentially, if there's room on that calendar.
This is a findings item. Let's put it on the morning agenda, then.
Okay.
The morning club would be better. I could do it 10:15.
So bring it back Wednesday, September 17th at 2 o'clock p.m.
10:15.
Time certain.
10:15.
Done and done. We're adjourned until next week. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, you can see the baby.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well done.
More to come.